Galatians 5, verse number 16. If you'll stand, please. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Makes a great list and then says such like, in case anything's left out, just like. Of which I tell you before, as I've told you in the time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We'll stop reading there and ask God to help us today to bring that He would have us to bring. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have today to hear the singing of the songs and come in and worship. Father, thank you for these seniors. I pray you bless them, help them, and I pray you guide them in days to come. And they'll be facing different decisions they'll have to make. I pray the Holy Spirit would direct them in all the decisions that they have in days to come. Then, Father, I pray you'd help the parents and encourage their hearts as they encourage these. I pray for every mom and dad in the church, every grandparent. I pray for everybody that's here. I ask today, Father, for every child, every young person, make this service meaningful. And I pray the power of God be upon it. Lord, we need you now. I ask you to touch us to preach. Help us forget about everything else and everybody else. And just preach the word of God as you'd have it to be done so. Thank you and praise you in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I thought about several things today that I may try to do. I even thought about going back and expanding that message I preached yesterday in the funeral service. I mean, you say, preacher, is that a funeral service would be good for a graduating class? It'd be good any time for anybody. But I wanted to expand on it, but we'll do that later sometime as God gives us liberty. But I've been working on and thinking about this message for some time, and I want to try today to at least give you the first three points of it and pray that God will help us make the right application of it in hearts and lives. Let me say this as we begin the message today, and I guess for the senior's sake, I would say that you need the spiritual guidance in your life more than you need anything else in the world. Amen? You need spiritual guidance more than you need education, more than you need money, more than you need a girlfriend or boyfriend, more than you need anything else. You need the Spirit of God to guide your life and to help you. But that's true of everybody. Not just them, but everybody. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, last part of that, and I'm not going to turn there, but it talks about a natural man. And then in chapter 3 of the 1 Corinthians, it talks about a carnal man. And then it goes on and talks about a spiritual man. Everybody in this house today fits in one category or the other. The natural man talks about the man that's unsaved. The man's never been born into the family of God. He's the natural man. And then the carnal man's that man that's been saved, a woman, boy, girl, been saved, but they've let the carnal things of this world get in their lives and take away from the spiritual and have become so obsessed with carnality that they're no longer effective for God and their testimony's not what it could be and ought to be for His glory. So I pray that you will recognize that truth today as we try to talk about this. And I guess if I titled the message, I'd title it like this: what is a spiritual person? What is a spiritual person? Now, I grant you that, no question about it. I love shouting as much as anybody loves shouting. Fact is, it gets too quiet, it bothers me. Amen. I like some amens and hallelujahs and raising your hands and getting excited every once in a while. I just love getting a good service where the breath of God is. And God gets on, you have liberty to preach, liberty to sing, liberty to worship God. I love all that. I praise God for it. I love it. That does not prove the spirituality. Now, it's a manifestation of a spirit of God working. It ought to be, or else it's hypocritical, one or the other. But that's not what the Bible says is a mark of spirituality. And I remember somebody, and some of y'all identify with this quickly, but don't call that name, please. And don't say I ever said it. I didn't. I'm calling any name. But I remember a woman that came while her husband lived, toted the Bible. I don't believe I've ever seen her. She didn't have a Bible under her arm. And she everywhere she went. And she said, boy, you know, you think, man, what a spiritual woman. And she's already read that Bible and talked about how long your dress ought to be. And all. I mean, she was really sold out, seemed like all that stuff. Then her husband died. It wasn't long until she went to a more liberal church than what this one is. And then it wasn't long until her dress began to change. And then I saw her out one day and I thought, is that the same woman I used to know? And then some other things happened and she got all messed up. I don't know where she is today. I don't know what she's doing. She may be doing fine. She may be living for God. I don't know. I'm not trying to make a judgment on her. But I'm saying this, just because you tote a Bible and just because you come to church and just because you act what we call, quote, spiritual, does not make you a spiritual person by the Bible. Amen. So I pray God to help you and God to speak to your heart. And God will speak to my heart and help all of us. Now, if you want to shout, I'm not trying to pour any water on that. I want you to shout. In fact, if you want to run, you run. And I said yesterday in that funeral service, I kind of felt like taking a lap myself. Amen. I mean, praise God. I like it when it's liberty to preach and liberty in the service. I like it when God gets around and that breath of God is there. And you know it's real and you know it's right. And you see yesterday a family set him there. And they were not sorrowing as those that have no hope, but they were accepting it as the will of God and had hope that they, not only hope as we think of hope, but the hope that the Bible talks about is a sure thing, that they have that blessed hope that Jesus will come again and they will meet together one day. And if they don't, Jesus doesn't come. By the way, he didn't come yesterday. How you know, preacher? Because I'm still here. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know your heart. I can't see inside of you. But I know I've been born again. Amen. And if Jesus coming back, I'd be gone. So I'm not worried about that. And but thank God, if he doesn't come back in my lifetime and you ever see me laying this old body at rest in a casket somewhere, a hope chest, don't you ever say he's there. I won't be there. I'm moving out, amen. And be absent from the body as be present with the Lord. I say hallelujah. Let me talk about what the Bible says of what a spiritual person is. Number one, a spiritual person has a spiritual birth, amen. And I want to say to every senior sitting down here, that everyone gave testimony that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray that you really do. But if you really don't know him, I pray today would be the day that you just come and get saved and born in the family of God. It doesn't make a difference if you have a graduation gown on or if you have a dress on or a suit on or what you got. It's a matter of coming to Christ and being born in the family of God. I really believe some of these young folk have demonstrated the love of God, have shown in their lives they love the Lord. I say praise God for that. I rejoice in that. But in case you say, well, preacher, do we know? No, we don't know. I can't see their hearts. I don't know their heart. But I do know this, that if you're going to be a spiritual person, that's what you need more than anything else. You have to be born again. You must be born again. You remember when Nicodemus in chapter 3 came to Jesus? And I know you're familiar with all of it, but He came and asked, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then the next verse, he explained what he said in that verse. That which is flesh is flesh, born of flesh, and that which is spirit, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then he went on and said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof. Can I not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth? So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And what he's saying is, when you're born physically, of course you're in water, in the womb, but then you're born physically, that which is flesh is flesh. And the flesh has not changed. I still have the same flesh I had when I got saved. But what's new about me is what God did on the inside. And the Spirit of God called me by my name, dealt with my heart, convicted me, drew me, and I realized I was lost and going to hell. I needed a Savior. And I responded to that. I had a choice to respond or rebel. I responded to that. And I'd rebelled before, but I responded that Sunday morning. And thank God I got saved by the marvelous grace of God. I mean really saved, born again. I wonder today how many in this house could really say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have been born again. Could you say that? Amen. Glory to God. I know that I'm saved. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. As the Spirit of God did a work in my heart, the burden of sin rolled away. I didn't understand all about it at that time, but I knew something had happened on the inside, and I was not the same anymore. Amen. And praise God, I rejoice in the fact today that I'm really saved. I can't get over being saved. Amen. If you ever get over being saved, you're in bad trouble anyhow. Amen. And that funeral service yesterday just confirmed that more and more. When it comes down to the end, Brother Smiley was facing the end and chose what he chose because he felt like he couldn't get better, wasn't getting better, couldn't handle it anymore, and said, I'm tired and I'm going to go home. And went to the hospice house knowing that he couldn't live very long, and knowing that, faced it. And I said yesterday, faced it without fear. And went in that place knowing he wouldn't never come out alive unless God miraculously did something. And he's just looking forward to going home. And I say to you, the only reason he could do that is because he'd been born to the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. What if it's you been rolled in? What if it's you that had that choice? What about you today? If you couldn't face death and know it's all right, you better get saved today. Because you don't know when it's coming, amen? You don't know when it's coming, but I praise God. It's real to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Watch a spiritual person. One's been saved, amen? Jesus said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's pretty positive, amen? I have everlasting life now. I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Jesus said that, and I can say that because I'm in him. If he's alive forevermore, then I'm in him. I'm alive forevermore. I have that, and he said that. I believe that. Amen. And praise his holy name and thank him for it today. Amen. Let me say number two. A spiritual person is one that believes the Spirit's book. This is the Holy Ghost book. Amen. It was inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. Holy men wrote. And I'm going to give you some scripture in just a few minutes, but 2 Corinthians 3:17. Well, somewhere in there. 2 Timothy is what I was trying to say. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration to God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means grown up, not perfect in flesh, but perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's exactly, he gave us the word of God. But now I do want you to turn in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1. Listen to verse 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That fella doing some predictions yesterday needed to read that verse. For the prophecy came not in old time of the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, you ought not say that about him. He didn't. I don't even hear of a small earthquake. That's a big earthquake, or end of the world, or Jesus coming, or any of that. Then the Bible says anybody that adds to or takes from the scriptures, there's a curse put on them for that. Amen. And the Bible said no man knows the day nor the hour. And the Bible says he's coming as a thief in the night. Did you ever know a thief to call somebody up and say, I'm going to come today and rob you? Now, I'll give you a few months' notice, in fact. It's going to be a few months down the road, and on a certain day, at a certain time, I'm going to be at your house, and I'm going to come and rob you. You ever know a thief to do that? Be a crazy thief, I'd say. But thieves don't do that because they don't want you to know when he's coming, but he'll come in a midnight hour. They'll come when you don't expect him to come. But this Bible, by the way, the King James Version of the Bible is a Bible for the English-speaking people today. I believe with all my heart it is the preserved Word of God. Amen. Given to us, and I say we need it today. Amen. And somebody said, well, I can't read that. I need it in some modern versions and all of that stuff. Hey, listen, I want you to know that this Bible is written on a level that children can understand it. Amen. And by the way, why should the Bible read like language of the newspaper or some modern writer? This is written by the Holy Ghost of God. Holy men of God moved and spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. I believe that. Amen. That's what God said. I believe that. Young people, let me say to you that are graduating, this book right here will be the most important book that you will ever have in your life. We gave you a copy of it because we wanted you to understand the importance of this book. Now, some of you are going to go to college, and some of you may go to some colleges where you're just trying to get an education and not necessarily a Christian college as such. I want you to know you may be presented with everything under heaven in that place. There'll be some professors that'll make fun of old-time religion, old-time salvation. There'll be some make fun, and I've been in some classes where they did that. And I can tell you right now, not everything that says it's Christian is Christian. And you have to weigh it out by the Word of God. I wrote in your Bible a note from me, and I put in that note, congratulations to you and all that. But I signed that note, and I quote and put down Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thy understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And every one of you here today sitting there, none of you have a wife. Now, some of you have boyfriends, girlfriends, that kind of friend. But you be sure before you ever marry, it's one God wants you to have. Yes. Amen. How you going to know, preacher? By this book right here. He said, don't lean to your own understanding. She may be the prettiest thing that ever walked on the face of God's earth, but inside she may be just as mean as a hound dog. Well, bulldog. Skunk. No offense to Courtney Hill, but when Brother Ben and Courtney were going to get married, I had Ben in the back. I gave him a little piece of advice. I said, Ben, remember this. A bulldog can whip a skunk, but it's not worth the stink. I think he's remembered it a few down through the years here. Courtney probably killed me after service. But listen, I'm serious about this. You that handsome fellow come by and you girls' eyes will roll back in your head. And your heart goes. You be sure you pray about it before you ever jump. You be sure you get peace of God in your hearts. You get that. That's good. Yeah, it is good. I believe every young person needs to hear that. You don't just up and marry. You make sure. Amen. That little short girl, whatever her name is. What is it? Sandy? Lindsay. You got sure that's the right name? The third time I went out with my wife, I looked over at her and said, what's your name? I was afraid I was going to call the wrong thing. You know, that's funny, didn't you? But I remember Juanita was an absolute foreign name to me. I thought, where in the world did that name like that come from? I started to call her Miss Jones. But I thought, man, I'm too young to do that. But anyway, I want you to know that, yeah, praise God. You might as well have a good time while you're in the house of God. But what I am saying is some real truths. Every one of us need the Word of God. Every one of us better make sure the Word of God guides us and directs us. Anything that goes against the Word of God, you can junk it. I don't care what it is. Talking about rapture, talking about anything. If it goes against this book, if it's not in bounds of the Scriptures, then it's not right. And so you say, well, preacher, not everything is mentioned in Scripture. It's either mentioned directly or there's a principle that will work for it. And if we study the Bible and pray over it, we'll find what God wants us to do and how we ought to who be with whatever. And God shows us all of that. And I say praise God for it. Let me give you the third thing this morning. I'm trying to bring it to close. But a true spiritual person only has a spirit's birth. And not only is guided by and believes the Spirit's book, but he also walks in the Spirit's leadership and the Spirit's behavior. And that's a good word to use, behavior. I want you to look in verse number 16 of the text I read. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a statement that we all need to heed very clearly. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I said a while ago, we still have the same flesh we had when we got saved. And the difference is that a man lives on the inside, the person, that birth on the inside. If we follow the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction in our life, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Young people, remember that. The flesh sometimes will want to do something you know scripturally is wrong. You say no to that and let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you, and it'll be all right. And he'll help you with everything that you run across in that. But I want you to turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I want to share some thoughts with you out of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Here that kingdom of God's mentioned again. Unrighteous shall not inherit. You say, preacher, some of these things, some people are saved, that may have committed, may have done. You mean they're not saved, they lose their salvation? No, I don't mean they lose their salvation. I mean this, by Scripture, you cannot continue in these sins that are mentioned over and over and over and really be saved. If you're really saved, God will convict you, draw you, chastise you, get your attention, straighten you out, or else he'll take you home to heaven. 1 John 5 says there is a sin unto death. He wasn't talking to unsaved. He's talking to saved people. And I believe this. If your children are playing out in the yard, getting in the road, and you correct them and tell them stay out of the road, and they don't do it, they go back. You correct them again, and this time you make the correction a little bit more severe, and then they go back out, and they go back out in the road again. I know what you'll do. About the third time, you'll say, come on in the house. You cannot play outside today because they would not listen to you. Amen. And God will not let his children stray but so far. And then he'll get their attention, he'll chastise, or he'll take them home. Amen, preacher. I believe that's in the bounds of Scripture. Knowing ye that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Boy, we need that preaching today. Amen. And adultery too, and fornication, all that stuff. Hey, sex sins is running wild today. And people act like we all just ignore it and act like it's not happening. But it is happening. And I want these young folk down here and other young folk to know it don't have to happen in your life. You can keep yourself clean and pure for the glory of God. Amen. And do that for his glory, for his honor. I praise God you by the grace of God and the help of God you can. But there's other things besides that. Idolaters. And today we may not be bound down to some tree stump or something made out of gold, but we have idols in our life. If that's the first place in your life, anything is the first place in your life, your idol. America today talks about the American Idol, and those people get up and act like crazy, lost their mind, jumping around. I've seen it advertised. I tell you what, I'd take them to the doctor and see if it needed help. Amen. Good preaching in the room, Brother Bray. But people want somebody they can idolize, somebody they can look up to and say, boy, that's my idol. I'd hate to think I come in one of you young people's bedroom and y'all had to hang on your wall a picture of some of that group saying that's my idol. I'd say we better pray. We better have a good long talk. Amen. A pastoral talk. A rough one. Your idol ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. One you love with all your heart and one you have your affection set upon is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good preaching, preacher. Preach on. Nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards. By the way, you know how you get to be a drunkard? By taking the first drink. Yeah, there's not a drunkard that ever lived that did not start out by taking one drink. Drinking one beer. Drinking one something. Amen. Then wound up hooked on it and wound up a drunk. There's a lot of men have wound up their lives, if they, and women too. If they had it to do over, they would say, don't touch it. Get away from it. Same way about drugs, and you'll be exposed to all that kind of stuff. Already have, probably. And you'll be exposed to more of just say, no, 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 no. I'm saved, 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 and God don't want me to do that. I will not do that by the grace of God. Amen. If you never start it, you don't have to get help to get off of it. Amen. And some people say, well, we need this and we need that to help these folk. We do need to help them. But the best way to help them, get them to an old-fashioned altar somewhere with God, let the Holy Ghost get a hold of them, God do something on the inside and change them for the glory of God. You say, preach, I don't believe that works today. We've got to have, well, I do believe it works. I still believe, I'm so old-fashioned, I believe God can still save sinners. Amen. Save drunkards or harlots or drug addicts. Now, I realize some people may get mixed up sometimes, may need some help mentally. I understand that. But I'm talking about just being hooked on alcohol and drugs and that kind of thing. I'm saying today we need Jesus Christ to help. You say, preacher, we're none of us in that. You'd be surprised who's sitting here and smoked a joint this week. Amen. Maybe got drunk, maybe drunk some beers, had some social drinks and helped a little finger out and sipped a little bit. I never have understood why you hold your little finger out to sip when the social drinking is. Anyway, I've been told that's what you do. I don't know. I never did any social drinking. I don't know how you do that. Hold your pinky out and say, whoopee. But you never start that stuff. You don't have to ever quit it. Amen. But if you are on it, let me tell you today, Jesus can help you get off of it. Amen. And young people, let me say again to you that be going to college and other places in your life, you'll be confronted with everything under heaven. Let me say to you, don't get caught up in what's politically correct. Get caught up in what is biblically correct. If you get caught up in what's biblically correct, you'll be all right. Rest of it fall in place. Amen. Let them say what they will about us. They think we're a bunch of nuts anyway. If we are, we're screwed on the right bolt. Amen. All right. Nor revilers and extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such, but I love verse number 11. And such were some of you. Such were, past tense, some of you. But, now there's three of those put in here in this verse. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Ye are washed. Sanctified, justified, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, sanctified, set apart, justified as though I never had sinned. I say glory, hallelujah. You could take that verse and preach for a while on that. I say amen and amen. I'm glad, praise God, I've been washed and sanctified and justified and everything's okay today. Seniors, everybody else, the best thing you could ever happen to you is be washed, sanctified, and justified in Christ Jesus our Lord and our Savior. Know him. Let me skip a few verses. No. Look down at verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I say hallelujah. Look at verse number 19. What? Know you not your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Then in 2 Corinthians 6 says in verse number 12, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And I'm not going to read all of that, but simply say this to you. That unequally yoked, don't just talk about marriage. It goes beyond that. We don't need to be yoked up to the world anymore that we can get out of. Amen. I know we have jobs, we work for people and factories and things, ungodly people in. But I'm talking about yoking up with and going their direction. And young folk, I like to see these young folk when they're getting together as Christian people. They're going out and eating, having fun, laughing, having a good time. I love that. I guess I look back and remember when I was a teenager. That's a long time to remember. I do barely remember it, though. And I love to see them get together and laugh and fun and go out there and get them something to eat and that kind of thing. That's good. Boy, isn't it better to be with Christian young people than it is that crowd that says, have you smoked a joint? Have you had sex? Do you know what? You don't need to be around that crowd. You get around a crowd that loves God. Let God help you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege today to try to share something here. And I pray the Holy Spirit make it real to hearts. Deal with lives. Thank you for what you do. Lord, not only the seniors, but every person here today, every individual, I pray you speak to our hearts. Those that know not Jesus Christ, I pray they come today and repent and be saved. Those that are saved, maybe their life is wavering for the Lord, I pray you'd help them speak to their hearts that the joy might be restored in their life. Then, Father, help all of us that will yield ourselves to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in every decision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.